Blog Talk Radio.
Your name is Yahweh. You are worthy of my praise.
Sweetness to my soul,
Bye. And the message blessed me so profusely. So profusely. Yes, Jesus is too good.
I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah.
And this message unto you I bring.
It is recorded in His word.
Hallelujah. It is only as you know. Look at me, my brother. Look to Jesus now.
It's recorded in His word. I have a message full of love. Hallelujah.
A message unto you, my friend. It's coming from above. Hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know it's true. Look at me. Look at me, my brother. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus.
Hey. It's recorded. It's recorded.
With my trumpet, you can lift your hands and your voice, you can sing in the spirit, or
just call his name.
You are the only one.
I was raped at age 8 and she was 23. So I said, okay, come to the experience fasting. And we were just about to go up. We were praying with my team and the light went off. And I knew the enemy was trying to stop someone. And we just lost it. And by Monday, I said, go check the result out. And she sent me a text saying, Pastor Nat, is this how God is? I have a word for someone tonight. By the time you leave this atmosphere, the mighty hand of God is turning things around. Can you not be bothered about the light? Because his hand is moving here.
Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you and we glorify your name. We thank you, God. You will never disappoint us. You promised that in your word, that you would never disappoint us. You said you would never leave us and you would never forsake us. Oh, God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come back at your table and feast on this food that you have prepared for us. Oh, God, we ask your forgiveness, and we ask your mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful world we are in today. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We thank you, Father. Lord, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Amen. We want to just put a word, leave a word in your ear, in your hearing today. We are going to be talking about preparing for world destruction by fire. Preparing for world destruction by fire. Remember in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 11, God promised, made a covenant with Noah and his family. He said that he would never again will flood waters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. But he also said it will be destroyed by fire. It will be destroyed by fire because of the sin of the people. And that's what we're talking about today. God has established his covenant promise with all life on earth. He will never again bring a global flood to destroy every living thing. But many will die because of sin. Because of sin. They're talking about nuclear weapons, not about releasing a nuclear weapon. And you know when it makes the blast, how many millions of people are going to die when it happens. Don't say if, because it's going to happen. Because all you need is two men or two women that has a problem with each other and they have this ego, this great ego tripping, that they're better than the next person or they got more power, more ammunition, more artillery than the next nation, and somebody will press the button. But thank God for God's, for his mercy and grace that he is covering his people. Let's go into the book. Let's go into the book of Zechariah. Let's go into the book of Zechariah. Hallelujah. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Glory to God. See, you have to be willing, Brother Deacon. You have to be willing to get up and preach and teach the gospel because the atmosphere changed. When the atmosphere changed, you got to be ready. You got to move with the atmosphere. You understand? You have to move with the atmosphere. People change. People change. You have to move with the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I went before the Lord last night. I was talking to the Lord. And as I was sharing with somebody this morning, a minister, and I really want to shut down this line. I really want to shut it down for a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, till my spirit man get where I need it to be. Hallelujah. But you know what the Lord told me last night when I was I was praying and talking to him. And even this morning, he told me, he says, it's not my line to shut down. I'm called to stand on the wall. We are called to stand on the wall, Brother Deacon. If people don't show up, you still bring forth the word. You still pray. You still sing. You still dance. You still do whatever you need to do so that God's word will go forth. Hallelujah. You don't walk away and say you're no longer going to preach. You don't do that. You don't get mad because stuff's not going the way it's supposed to go. Things are going to happen. Because we're living in this kind of world. Satan is attacking the people of God. This is what he is doing. He is attacking the people of God. But we that know, the Bible says, they that know their God will do great exploits. In the book of Zechariah chapter 11, verse 1, he said, open your doors, O Lebanon, so that fire will devour your cedars. Well, O juniper, for the cedar has fallen. For the magnificent trees are ruined. Well, oaks of Bashan. For the impenetrable forest has come down. Listen to the wailing of the shepherds. For their splendor is ruined. Listen to the roar of the young lions. For the thickets of Jordan are ruined. Listen to this prophet talking. This chapter 11 points a gloomy picture of death and destruction. The narrative of the shepherd of the sheep for slaughter in verse 4 to 16 is surrounded by two poetic oracles, chapter 11, verse 17. The first describes the destruction of the natural beauty of the regions north of Israel, Lebanon, Bashan, and the fertile Jordan Valley. The closing oracle pronounces woe or indictment on the shepherds who has failed in his duty or in their duty to protect his flocks. These three segments are unified by the continued use of shepherd imagery introduced in chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. The basic message is one of judgment on the people and on their leaders for rejecting God. You understand? First thing that's going to happen is that judgment is coming to the church. Are we playing like we got it all together? We're acting like we got it all together. We are this bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. We playing like we have it together, but God said, no, you don't. You are pushing your chest up like you have arrived. But God says, he promised us, the time is come that judgment must begin at his house, the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? What shall the end be? We don't believe that it's going to happen to us. We believe we're just going to skip through the tulips, and when the rain is falling, that we're not going to get wet. When the earthquakes come, we're not going to fall in the hole. Why? Because we think that we're all there. Glory to God. We're not all there. He is. Glory to God. Now, here in the book of Zechariah, verse 4 says, that says Yahweh, my God, shepherd the flock, doomed to slaughter. The ones buying them, kill them, and go unpunished. And the ones selling them say, blessed be God, for I have become rich. Their own shepherds have no compassion for them. Ain't we seeing this happening? The pastors that are supposed to look over the congregation, now the congregation is the sheep. The pastor is the shepherd who's supposed to feed the congregation the word of God, the word how to live holy, how to live a righteous life, or be in right standing with God, how to be obedient, how to love each other. But we find that they have allowed Satan to come in, and what Satan has done, as Satan has brought a spirit of deception upon the people. First, he started with the pastors, with the apostles, with the prophets, with the evangelists, with the pastors, and with the teachers. So the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, they're not teaching the full truth. They're teaching a word that make the people say, well, my pastor's a good pastor. They want to be known as good pastors, not a pastor that honor their God by living the truth and preaching the truth. There's too much deception in the house of God, between the people of God. Too much conniving, too much jealousy, too much backbiting, too much gossiping. they look in your face and tell you they love you and then gossip about you behind your back. They call them backstabbers. You hear me? God said they refuse to feed the flock. It's right here in the Word. This is not that I'm making up. I'm not preaching about anybody. This is what God says. He says, their own shepherds have no compassion for them. For I will no longer have compassion on the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. Look, I am going to cause humankind to fall, each into the hand of his neighbor and into the hand of his king. And they will devastate the land, and I will not deliver anyone from their hand. God is saying that destruction is coming. The juniper, a type of evergreen fir tree known for its thick foliage. Only the cedar trees are destroyed. The cypress or junipers, in some translations, and oaks are called to mourn the loss of the glorious cedar forest, the oaks of Bashan. Oaks, the other prized tree of the region, often were used as symbols of strength and power. The cedar of Lebanon and oaks of Bashan are similarly paired in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 13, Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 5 and 6. Amos 2 and 9 also uses cedar and oak to symbolize height and power, respectively. Bethlehem is a region of northern Transjordan known for its fertility. I want you to hear this. We are talking, computer's acting up a little bit, about preparing for world destruction by fire. This is the topic. Preparing for world destruction by fire. And we know all of these people that in governmental offices as leaders, prime minister, presidents, they're all talking about nuclear weapons or nuclear destruction. This president thinks he is stronger or more powerful than the other president. This prime minister thinks that he is more powerful than that prime minister or that president. This is what it's leading up to. And God has it right here in the book. Right here. Verse 3. We are in Zechariah chapter 11. The thickets of the Jordan, the largest and most important river in Cana, its headwaters originate in the region of Mount Hermon. And the river flows south to the Dead Sea. The vegetation along the banks of the Jordan River is extremely dense, creating a tropical jungle that contrasts sharply with the surrounding barren terrain and providing a habitat for wildlife, including lions and all other animals. Jeremiah uses a similar language to describe the area in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 49 and 19, Jeremiah 50 and 44. He talks about the shepherds here in chapter 11, verse 4. God speaks about them. Remember, we just read a verse from over in 1 Peter. I believe we read that from 1 Peter. Let me just check back there because I'm hearing this stuff just flowing up in my spirit. Oh, Jesus, I bless you. Yes. Everything that you want is in the Word. Yes, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we read that scripture. So God is coming and setting judgment to the church first, to his church. This is why we have to be prepared. We can't get prepared when he comes, when he sends judgment. We have to be prepared right now. Getting our heart, soul, mind, body, and soul together. Start living the life that he requires us to live. I'm speaking about holiness every day. Preparing for world destruction by fire. Remember in Genesis chapter 9 and verses 11, he talks about, he said to the father, Noah's family, that he would never destroy the world again by flood waters. But the world will be destroyed by fire. Fire. Because of the sin and the rejection of God himself. People are rejecting God. They're turning away. This is why you see over in Asbury, Kentucky, people are going from all over the world, going over there to revival. Because God now is waking up a young people that heard from heaven to change their lives. And other universities in the United States and over the world are worshiping him, praising him. They're not looking to raise money. They're not looking to raise money. They're not putting on a revival to raise money. They're just praising God nonstop. Only time they stop is to get something to eat or get a shower, and they go right back into worship. We can't even worship him for half an hour. And then all we do is talk about each other. He says, thus says God, the Lord my God, shepherd the flock, doomed to slaughter. The ones bind them, kill them, and go unpunished. And the ones selling them say, blessed be God, for I have become rich. Their own shepherds have no compassion for them, for I will no longer have compassion on the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. Look, I am going to cause humankind to fall. Listen to what God is saying. God is looking at his prophets, and the prophets also call a shepherd. They are not feeding the flock. And they're boasting about how much money they have in the bank. It's in the Bible. You can find the stuff that God has already penned down this year. He had men of old pen this thing down. So when we see it happening, we can say, oh, God has already got it. It's already put in the Word. So you can't say it's just something that somebody conjured up yesterday, some scientist or something. Or some scholar, some scribe. No, God had this thing pinned down so we can see it's all in this book. Here, he said, look, I am going to cause humankind to fall, each into the hands of his neighbor, into the hand of his king, and they will devastate the land. And I will not deliver any one from their hand. And I shepherded the flock, doomed to slaughter, even the afflicted of the flock. I took two staffs. Listen to God. God said he took two staffs. One I call kindness, and the other I call unity. And I shepherded the flocks. And I got rid of three shepherds in 1 month, for I grew impatient with them, and they also became tired of me. Do you hear that? Some of the ones that are supposed to take care of the sheep are quitting, leaving. They have made enough money, and they're leaving. They say, well, I'm retiring. They're not even old enough to retire, but they say, I'm retiring because their belly was filled. Hallelujah. The shepherd is the shepherd. The idea of a prophet Zechariah as his symbolic representation, as the symbolic representation of his message, is common in prophetic literature, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Jonah. Doomed to slaughter refers to the herd of animals kept outside of the temple for sacrificial offering. This image symbolizes that the Israelites are doomed to be conquered by foreign nations. Their own shepherds, the leaders, have taken advantage of the people instead of caring for them. Isn't that what we're saying now? They're not concerned with teaching the people the truth. They're not concerned with telling the people, well, you got to repent of your sin. You got to live holy. You got to be righteous. That's the only way you're going to see God and be taken back with him. You know, people think that because they read the scriptures and they go to church on Sunday, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, whatever time they go, they think that they're going to be going to heaven. They're going to be with Jesus. They're going to be in the new Jerusalem. They're going to be in the new heaven. They're going to be in paradise with him. But they're not living the word of God. Hallelujah. They're full of jealousy and contempt, full of malice, gossip. Can't get along with each other. They look in your face and tell you they love you, but behind their back they drive a knife in your back, a dagger. You know that song that says smiling faces? All the time they're trying to take your place. That's what the songwriter says. Say they stab you in the back. They're backstabbers. Listen to what the prophet is saying here. Glory to God. I was studying this last night and God was blessing me. Then I started to minister with a prophetess this morning. And the prophet was just giving me some insight. And I said, wow, saying some things that happened to her brother and her sister and her daughter. And my God, it was just blessing me. How God was using her. Prophetess in Louisiana. And it was so powerful. God said the same thing I was looking at. She said the same word to me in a different way. But then I had to go to Matthew chapter 27. And I saw this. I saw how Judas was with Jesus at the table and kissed Jesus and betrayed him. And we have people that would do that. Oh, Deacon, I love you so much. I love you, Deacon. You know I love you. But as soon as you turn your back, they're talking behind your back. And your nose, my mama just said, when your nose is burning or your itching you, somebody talking about you. And the old folks had a lot of things that they used to say, problems they used to use. When your nose is itching and your ears itching, somebody is talking about you. Well, you know that. So the folk talk to you in your face, but behind your back, they just yap, yap, yap. They can't say, well, let's do this and do that so that the kingdom can be established through us. Instead of trying to establish the kingdom, people just talk about the preachers. Listen what he says. God is speaking this thing here so clearly. He said their own shepherds, the leaders, have taken advantage of the people instead of caring for them. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 23. Amos chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. He said, I'm going to cause mankind to fall, each into which the hand of his neighbor. This is what God is saying. Verse 6 of Zechariah chapter 11. There's a reference to the conquest of the northern kingdom by Syria and the southern kingdom by Babylon. God is going to cause these folk that think that they're standing on standing flat-footed and they've got all this thing going on for them because why? They're not taking care of God's people. We are supposed to take care of God's people. There's so much stuff in the atmosphere, Brother Deacon. I can tell I was talking. And I begin to seek God on, I said, God, I want to shut down the line for about 3 weeks and just fast and prayer. Spend time with the Lord. Let's shut the line down. I don't have to deal with no No confrontation. And the Lord told me, Apostle, I wouldn't lie to you. He spoke to my spirit. He said to me, son, the line is, and I shared this with a woman this morning. I shared this with a prophetess this morning. And the prophet said, oh, you can't listen to what people are saying or what people are doing. The Lord said to me, he said, this is, it is not your ministry to shut down. You're just a watchman on the wall. And I had to, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I had to repent. Because it doesn't matter what people are doing or not doing or what people are saying or not saying. You got to understand we have an assignment. If folk, I told Brother Deacon, if folk don't come on the line, you still go on the line, you pray, you sing, you dance, and then you pray and say, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for allowing me to come and spend 45 minutes, an hour with you, 2 hours with you, and you pray. You close the line. Don't get angry because people don't show up. Don't get angry because nobody coming to want to pray, nobody want to sing, nobody want to read the scripture. Just do what God called. And that's what God told me last night. He said, just go on, do what you got to do, and then pray and close the line. People are, I got an inbox from India, a new pastor that he was talking to me for a few months. And he heard us on Blog Talk Radio. And he said, look, he's an overseer. He's the head pastor over 5 churches. And he says, Apostle, I need you to come. He said, I would sponsor you or something like that. He says, put you up on whatever the word he used. He said, I want you to come and just talk to the pastors. Let's have a big conference for the pastors and give them instructions. What I told him, I said, I got to pray about it. If the Lord says so, I get a plane. I get a ticket. You know, it's no problem me going. But I don't want to go in my own flesh. See, if you go because you're looking for glory for somebody, say, well, you're going to India, you're going to Africa, you're going to China, whether you're going to your own. There's nothing going to happen. But when God said to go, and you go, see, God's going to provide all that you need, but he's also going to give you what you need. Remember when he sent the disciples out 2 by 2? And he told them, don't take this and don't take that. All the different things you tell them not to take. Don't take 2 of this and 2 of that. Because when we go away, we want to have 3 suitcases. We can't even carry the suitcase. We want to fill the suitcase with all shoes and suits and hats and all type of stuff. Because we want to act like we all this. And God said, you don't need all this stuff. Just take your basic. And when you get there, I'm going to give you what you need. Don't even write a sermon. He told me, don't even write a sermon. Don't even write a script. He said, when you get there, I'll give you what you need to say. He even told me, if you go into a house and they don't receive you, take back your peace. If they receive you, leave your peace. They give them salutations. But if they don't, take it back from them. And brush off the dust off your feet. And the dust, even the dust on your shoe, will come against them in judgment. This is what God is saying here. Now, he said they're doomed. No, he said I'm going to cause mankind to fall, each into the hand of his own neighbor. A reference to the conquest of the northern kingdom by Syria and the southern kingdom by Babylon. He said, I shepherded the sheep. Zechariah is now speaking. He said, 2 staffs, a long stick used by shepherds to defend sheep against wild animals such as foxes and wolves and all of this stuff and bears and tigers that would come to steal the sheep. This is why the shepherds had staff. Then he called one staff kindness and he called the other staff unity. He said, And I shepherded the flock. And I got rid of 3 shepherds. Listen to what he's saying. God is going to move some shepherds, some pastors, from their position of leadership. So you will hear, you heard a couple of years ago how many pastors were dying, not from the COVID. They were just dropping dead. Because they were using the office the wrong way, not the way that God called them to use the office. They were using the office for their own needs. Fleece, Jeremiah calls it fleecing the church. Fleecing the church, the sheep. Eating the fat, why the sheep had bones to suck on. There's no meat on the bones. One pastor in Connecticut preacher, the pastor message when he sat back in the chair. His daughter says, my daddy was preaching for 40-some years, almost 50 years, and he died the way he wanted to die. He died preaching the Holy Scriptures. Well, that's a good way. I always felt that if I die preaching the gospel, well, you know you're not going to know, but that's the way I would like to die. I wouldn't like to die with somebody stabbing me or hitting me with a machete or shooting me or poisoning me or something. No. I would like to die if the Lord called me home. I'd like him to call me home while I'm preaching, after I finish the message. Glory to God. But here in this text here, we're talking about preparing for world destruction by fire. Hallelujah. We read that scripture yesterday in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. Hallelujah. They're going to do, the false prophet going to do all that they can do, but their final destination is the lake of fire and brimstone. Excuse me. That's their final destination. We have the victory. We already have the victory, but Christ already told us that we have to suffer. This is not an easy path. He was God. He was God in the flesh, and he didn't have an easy road when he was here on earth. Everybody, people came against him. Yes, he had some good apostles, some good disciples, but there was a lot of the Jewish people that came, and Jewish people and the Roman people that came against him, even to putting him on the cross, crucifying him, piercing him and nailing him and putting crown of thorns on his head. So if the Father did not spare his Son, his only beloved Son, you think he's going to spare us from going through some harassment and some mistreatment and stuff by our own peers? Job didn't with his spear. He had all types of swords and boils on him, and even his friends come against him. Even his wife was telling him to cut God and die. You got to suffer. If you're going to follow him, you have to deny yourself, your family members, your friends. Take up your cross daily. See, the cross is not a one-time thing. Carry that cross is not a one-day thing. So I carry the cross today, and after I carry the cross today, it's all right. No. Every day, you got to pick up your cross. Every day you're going to go through some stuff. And you have to watch in prayer. This young boy in South Africa, black young man, he made a car. He invented a car, and he invented a helicopter and a television. And the television don't need solar. It doesn't need electricity. It doesn't need kerosene or gasoline. Somehow, it works from the atmosphere. The television, boy gifted. And they tried to poison him three times. And all three times, God spared his life. He made a helicopter that runs on water. A car that runs on water. Don't need gasoline. Don't need batteries. This young boy gifted. But you see, they're trying to kill him because he comes against everything that the scientists said was God gifted him. Hallelujah. When you doing what God said, folk will come against you. The three shepherds, the identity of these shepherds is unclear. Many possibilities have been suggested, such as the last three kings of Judah, Jehoiakim, Jehoshim, and Zedekiah. But no one knows for sure. He said, let them devour the flesh of each other, in reference to cannibalism that accompanies the siege of Jerusalem, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 54 to 55. Lamentation chapter 4 and verse 10. You got people now eating one another now. You got people drinking blood. I was watching that stuff the other day, and this lady was saying that she drinks blood, and she called it a blood transfusion. She's one of these Hollywood actresses. She drinks blood. For when they, whatever they do, how they kidnap the people and kill them, you know, they said that thousands of people have been missing from California. Thousands. They said they don't know where all the thousands of homeless people gone. They're just gone. But they're killing people and taking their organs and selling their organs to rich folk that need hearts and need livers and need kidneys. They're eating their flesh and drinking their blood. We're living in a hard, we're living in a terrible time. And they're giving up offerings and sacrifices to the devil. You understand what I'm saying? Because they want power. When they give sacrifice and blood offerings, they tend to be elevated in their office as actor or actresses. They get a lot of parts. Satan calls them to get parts. And the entertainers, they get contracts, more contracts. But, you know, after you get all the stuff of the world, if you're not living for righteousness and holiness, what happens is you're going to die and go to hell. Because eventually Satan's going to want your soul, not just the flesh and blood of other people. He's going to want your soul. That's why he's enticing the people to do all these heinous things. So here, let's go back into this word. Verse 12. Let's start at verse 10. He says, and I took my staff kindness and broke it to break my covenant that I had made with all the people. And it was broken on this, that day. That's the day of the Lord. Then the afflicted of the flock, the ones who were watching me, knew that it was the word of God. And I said to them, if it seems right to you, give me your wages. This is the prophet talking. Prophet Zechariah. But if not, keep it. And they weighed out my wages, 30 silver shekels. And God said to me, throw it to the potter. This noble piece, this noble price, at which I was valued to them. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 27. What did they give Judas for the cost of betrayal of our Lord and Savior? Matthew chapter 27. He said, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremy, that means Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. They value him. The priest valued the life of Jesus, the 30 pieces of silver, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou seest. In other words, you will answer yourself. You will answer. Judas kissed him and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Here, when Judas realized what they were going to do to Jesus, he repented. The Bible says he repented. And he threw the 30 pieces of silver back before the priest and told him, I have sinned against the Lord. He recognized, he said, I have sinned, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? They didn't care. See thou to that. They didn't care. But see, after he realize what was going to happen to this because Judas was a thief. He couldn't afford to keep the 30 pieces of silver. Here in this book here, in this book of Zechariah, God said to me, throw it to the potter, the 30 pieces of silver, the noble price. And to do this, it was to the priest back in his time when the court had betrayed, Judas had betrayed his master. They said it was a noble price, the same thing it says. 30 pieces of silver was a lot of money back then. But Judas couldn't afford to keep it. And he left and went out. He left the judgment hall and went out and hung himself. Folk will come against you, against us, because of who we are and whose we are. And when they come against us, they realize that the hand of God will come against them because of who we are and whose we are. God is going to protect us. He's going to protect his own. That's why we have to stick. I keep saying this every day. We have to stick together. Matter of fact, we have to stick together, and we have to stay connected to the vine. We're just branches. We're nothing more than branches. What happened to branches when the wind? If the branch is not fully connected to the tree or to the vine, when the high winds come and the rain come, they'll fall off. They'll blow off, and then they become just fit for the fire. They don't just grow back. They're fit for the fire. People pick them up and put them in the fire. So we have to stay connected, be joined together, become one, and be stay glued or connected to the vine. If we think we can run off because we know through scriptures, I'll tell you something, you're in a bad position. Listen to what he says. They throw them 30 pieces shekels back. Hallelujah. So I took the 30 pieces of 30 silver shekels and threw them to the potter and in the house of God. Then I broke the second staff, unity, to break the family ties between Judah and Israel. Hallelujah. You see, the staff, the unity staff was a symbolic of the unity between the two families. Now they're broken. We are connected in Christ. But when we allow the devil to come in and begin to infiltrate our minds, all kind of discord come. And I see some stuff in the spirit realm. And if you don't see that the change that's taking place, you're blind. Your spirit is not in tune. Your spirit is not in tune. You find too much time to cut up your sister. You find too much time to cut up your brother. Jeremiah chapter 11, we're coming right back here. Jeremiah chapter 11, coming right back here to this chapter. I want to do two chapters today, but I just don't know if I can get it because the Holy Spirit is just speaking so clearly. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 6 to 11. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Obey my voice. Yet they obey not, nor incline their ear, but walk everyone in the imaginations of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do. But they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found. Here, listen to what the Lord said. You can tell when people say, can't get along. There's a conspiracy. People are talking too much. People are gossiping too much. Brother Deacon, listen what he says. And the Lord said unto the prophet, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Remember what he said there in in Zechariah. He broke the staff of unity. Why? Because there was a conspiracy going on between Judah and Israel. You understand? The same thing is happening today. The Democrats and the Republicans can't get along. The Senate and the House of Representatives can't get along. One side is fully corrupt, and the other side is partly corrupt. They can't get along. So what you have a great discord in the government, and when you have a discord in the government, there's confusion. Jeremiah says, he says, they are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refuses to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Verse 11 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them. Isn't Zechariah saying the same thing? He said, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. God says, even though they're going to cry, he's not going to hear. He's not going to listen to them. Do you hear God is already warning us? All of these scriptures are for example. That's why I'm parlaying these scriptures so you can see. I'm talking about preparing for world destruction by fire. People are going to run looking to hide. Even those that have bunkers that spend thousands upon thousands of dollars digging up the earth to put 18 inches thick, 3 feet thick, whatever the hell, take the walls out. Thinking God can't get through the wall. But the power of God can go through steel. Hallelujah. Penetrate diamonds. Hallelujah. They think they can go down in the earth in their bunkers. They got all the food down there, and they got all the generators and all the solar stuff to operate the microwaves and the ovens and the heat and all the stuff that they need to sustain their life. They think that that's going to save them from the hand of God, from the judgment of God. I tell you something. God says they rejected him and they abused his people. Verse 15, he says, and Yahweh said to me, take away the implements of a foolish shepherd. For look, I am raising up a shepherd in the land who will not attend to the ones that are perishing. He will not seek the young man. He will not heal the ones that are crushed, and he will not sustain the healthy ones. He will devour the flesh of the fattened ones and tear apart the ones and tear apart their hubs. It's a war, an indictment. War, my shepherds, my worthless shepherds, who deserts the flock. May a sword fall on his arm and on his right eye. May his arm wither completely and his right eye be utterly blinded. Listen to what God is saying. God is a God of mercy. He is a God of love, compassion, but he's also a God of judgment. Listen to what he says. The 30 silver shekels, the afflicted nation determined that the service of the shepherd was worth 30 pieces of silver. The legal compensation for the loss of a slave. Exodus chapter 21, verse 32. The reference here is to the shekel, the basic unit of silver that weighs just over 11 grams. Throw them at the potter refers to the potter's field, where Judas was hung himself.
He went in that sin and hung himself because he couldn't bear to live any longer after he realized what he did to the master, to the rabbi, to the Lord. A sin of Debris, where a potter would discard broken pottery. God instructed the prophet to throw his wages into the trash. Matthew chapter 27, verse 7 to 10. We read that scripture earlier. To break the family ties between Judah and Israel, the nation split in 931 B.C., shortly after Solomon's death. The shepherd refers to a future shepherd who will terrorize the land of Israel. When he comes with everything. He coming with the word of God in his mouth. He's God. And the word that he will speak is going to terrify the enemy. The day of God. The day of God. An oracle. A spoken word. A divine word. The word of God concerning Israel. Thus declares God, who stretches out the heavens from the earth and form the spirit of humankind in his midst. Look, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup of reeling for all the surrounding nations. It will also be against Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. And then on that day, I will make Jerusalem a stone weight for all the people. All those lifting it up will grievously hurt themselves. And all the nations of the earth will assemble against it. On that day, declares God, I will strike every horse with confusion. This is what God says. He said that on that day, I will strike every horse with confusion. And the one riding it with madness. But over the house of Judah, I will keep my eyes open, and I will strike every horse of the people with blindness, and the clans of Judah will say to themselves, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are a strength to us through God of hosts, their God. In chapter 12 of who stretches out the heavens found in the earth demonstrates God's omnipotence. The term used here is commonly used to describe the work of potters as they mold their clay. A cup of reeling describes a cup of wine that causes the person drinking it to stagger. The surrounding nations will become like a stumbling drunken man, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17 and verse 22, and Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15 and 16. Also use this metaphor in Jeremiah 25 and 15. The day refers to the day that Jerusalem become a cup of a staggering, the day of God's judgment. See, the day of God's judgment, people were staggered as though they were drunk because of his glory, because of his presence. A stone weight described a stone that injured those who tried to lift it. Those nations who attempt to attack Jerusalem will find that the task too difficult and will end up injured. God's eyes declare that he will watch over the house of Judah. He will watch over his children. If you live the life that wanted God looking over you, protecting you, guess what? He will protect you. Here we see. And then on that day, I will make Jerusalem a stone for all the people. All those lifting it up will grievously hurt themselves. And all the nations of the earth will assemble against it. On that day, declares God, I will strike every horse with confusion, and the one riding it with madness. But over the house of Judah, I will keep my eyes. See, he's going to watch over his people. Open. And I will strike every horse of the people with blindness. And the clan of Judah will say to themselves, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are a strength to us. True God of hosts, dear God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a pan of fire among sticks of wood, and like a torch of fire among the stalks of grain. And they will devour the right, and they will devour to the right and to the left all the surrounding people. And Jerusalem will be inhabited again in its place in Jerusalem. And God will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not be exalted over Judah. On that day, God will put a shield around the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who stumbles among them on that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of God before them. And then on that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations coming against Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. God, in this word, he is going to cause the people to come to repentance. He not only that, but also he's going to restore them. Because God is not playing. He is a true father. He's not going to forsake the rod. He's not going to forsake the rod and spoil his child, his children. So we got to look forward for chastisement, being chastised by God. We think we can do everything, say anything we want to, and God's going to be okay with it. We can get away with it because we so holy and so pious. God's going to reward us for the good that we do, and he's going to chastise us. He's going to whip our behind for the things that we do bad. We're not going to escape. He's a true holy father, a righteous father. We want to walk around and act to our brothers and sisters like we all got in a bag of chips of Pensacola, but we don't want to repent. We come up with a lie all the time because we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. I had people come over here to preach, and they said they're going to preach. They don't preach here anymore. But every time they come to preach, they have an excuse. They have an excuse like they're doing me a favor. You see, I'm preaching. Listen to what he says. It's the word of God. The word of God is good. He says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. This is God. This is God speaking. And they will look to me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn over him as one wails over an only child. And they will grieve bitterly over him as one grieves bitterly over a firstborn. On that day, the wailing will be great in Jerusalem, like the wailing for Hadad, Rimmon, in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, each clan by itself, the clan of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the clan of the house of Nathan by itself, and the wives by themselves, and the clan of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, and all those clans remaining, each clan by itself, and their wives by themselves. This is what God is saying, people. One who summons among them on the God's direct protection, even the weak become strong. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. the tents of Judah, a metaphor referring to the towns and villages that surround Jerusalem. Grace and supplication. Grace is special favor freely given by God to the nations, whereas pleas for mercy represent God's response to the nation's petition. The two together portray the vast extent of divine providence. God will extend grace and mercy. Why? Because he's the only one that can. Somebody can say, well, I extend grace to you, Apostle. I'll have mercy on you. But not true mercy. Because a lot of people say, extend grace to you, but as soon as you make the slightest mistake, they will cut you up like a rotten potato. They will cut you up like a sorry tomato. They just extend grace to you. But you make one simple little mistake. But when God extends grace and mercy, and merited favor to us, he don't come back and say, well, I ain't dealing with you tomorrow because you this and you that. That's not the God we serve. Hallelujah. The Bible said he threw our sins in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. He remembered them no more. That's the God we serve. He knows the ending before the beginning. He knows exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow if he keeps me in his word tomorrow. To see tomorrow. He knows exactly what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. We got a young lady over in New Orleans. Never met her. She never seen me. I was over there two times. Never met her. And if I put a post on Facebook, ever so often she sends money. She says, Apostle, this is such a month. The heck with the children. If I say I'm going to send $300, that woman going to send money so I can send more. If I say she going to send money. Never met her. I had to tell her, medicine, I said, send me her telephone number or her address or something so I can bless her. And the Lord bless me. I want to bless her. Because she's always there to help the orphans. And she always said, this is to help the kids. And I said, well, you know, I was just planning to send $300 because that's what I could afford at the time, or $500, that's what I could afford. And then she sent it extended so I can do a lot more. We were just able to put kids back to school. The parents weren't able to buy, pay the school fee because, you know, like here we can go to elementary school, you don't have to pay nothing. High school or college, you got to pay, college. But they got to pay from college, you got to pay for high school, elementary school, or grammar school, you call it, in college. If you don't pay to go to the grammar school, they send them home. And they say, you come back when your mother, father got money. They don't teach them and say, well, come on. You would think they would say, well, we all African kids, we all black. Come on to school, tell your mother, father, get the money. So what Block Talk has to do, Block Talk has to go on there and go to Western Union and send money to send them to school. Last week, or week before, we had a call that they had no food. You know, and I'm trying to change over my body now to going to eating a lot more vegetables and a lot of steak and stuff like that. Because I used to eat a lot of steak and a lot of meat and stuff. So I'm trying to change my body over. And so I'm even getting a machine to cut all the meals and stuff out the water because they're putting a lot of new stuff they're putting in the water to mess us up. So I'm getting a machine from Amazon that's going to take all that stuff out the thing, and then I got the mineral stuff to put in the water to see when the water's really ready to get the pH that I need. Well, you know, the lady said, well, she said, I'm going to help you anytime. And I said, God bless you. And then the lady wanted a car. Man, she got a nice car. My mama told me she got a nice car. She ain't never had no car. She got a nice car. And I told her mama this morning, I said, you know, because she take care of God's people. She's interested in the fatherless, the motherless, the widows, the orphans. She's interested in them. When you take care of the orphans, God take care of your children. My son was facing 25 years
dealing with marijuana and with the people on the streets, acting a fool. When we pray, we got a word from the Lord. And the Lord said, I told my son he's crying, locked up. He didn't want to spend that time. Who want to spend 25 years for nothing? Really nothing. And the Lord says, no, he spent 2.5 years. He home now. You know, we just bought him a 4x4 truck. And I'm planning to, I got some machines coming. I just ordered some machines yesterday. Some snake machines, you know, electric machines, just clean drains. And he working with cable company, but you know, you can't do too much for cable once you get a big truck and get the contract. But I'm trying to set him up and talk to him, and if he wants to become he can start. He knows some plumbing and stuff and some AC work. He's not as good as I am, but he can have a drain cleaning company. You know, they thought you don't have to get a license for that. You can get a little thing to put on his truck, two stamps on the side, a Roto-Rooter, whatever he called himself, drain cleaning. The dream man or something, and he will get calls, you know, and he'll go and have his own business. Next thing you know, he's doing a whole lot of stuff because those people took a lot of them, and a lot of dreams got blocked up. Here, one who stumbles among them under God's direct protection, even the weak become strong. Grace and supplication. Grace is special favor freely given by God to the nation, whereas please for mercy represents God's response to the nation's petition. The two together portrays the vast extent of divine providence. The change in pronoun is none for stylistic reasons. The subject is still God. The phrase refers to the heartbreaking effects the nation idolatry has on God. See, God is want the people to love him, to worship him. But when the people begin worshiping idols, it hurts the heart of God. You watch here how the people now, we got people now, got tattoos on them with crosses upside down. And they're saying they want to go to hell, like hell is a excited place. One man in Florida says he was half naked, and he says, I can't wait to go to hell. I can't wait to go to hell. He don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. You know, they're thinking that hell is a party place. But I got news for them. According to this Bible, ain't nothing happier, ain't nothing merry about hell. But he says, whom they pierce, the change in pronoun is done for stylistic reasons. The subject is still God. Hallelujah. This phrase refers to the heartbreaking effect the nation's idolatry has on God. One wears over an only child. The great mourning will resemble the laments that accompanying the loss of an only child. Her dad remnant, the name of the Aramean storm god. However, the term here seems to identify a location near Megiddo. While the location is unknown, the mourning refers here was for the death of Josiah in 609 B.C. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 22 to 25. Josiah was the last godly king of Judah. The plain of Megiddo, the plain of Eshelon was dominated by the powerful fortress city of Megiddo. The house of David refers to the royal family, the house of Nathan, the third son of David, born in Jerusalem. Shortly after the exile, the royal line began to trace through Nathan. Zerubbabel was the line of Nathan, not Solomon. Hallelujah. The Shemites, the family of Shemir, the grandson of Levi in Numbers 3 and 8, they represent the priestly line in Israel. All those clans, everyone will mourn. From the least to the greatest. Everybody going to moan.
Hallelujah. Because the day of the Lord is going to be a terrible day. Hallelujah. It's not a Mardi Gras day. It's not a day for cannibal. Hallelujah. It's a day that you must be right. Your heart must be right. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And we pray that we'll do a part two when we come back. We pray, O God, that the Lord God, that you allow us to do what you call us to do, and that someone would hear this message and ask what must they do to be saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, according to Romans 10, 9, 10, and 11, that says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation. With the mouth, oh Jesus, my heart, my mind is going blank right here. Confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So imagine how you could be doing this stuff and you got the word in your heart and then your mind just goes blank because you're hearing so many different things. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's John 3:16. John 3:7 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And John 3:9 says that, you go John 3:9, let's do the whole scripture here. 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved or examined. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. His deeds are made clear, able to examine. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, he said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? Man, the anointing was so powerful. It was so powerful that these men is preaching Jesus. They're preaching Jesus. They're preaching about repentance. They're preaching about the kingdom. And the anointing was to come down in their midst, that people just wanted to be baptized. People just want to give their life to Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. Because the apostles, they're living the life. See, when they were in the upper room, they always going through who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the least, and who's going to lead and who's not going to lead. But when they got on one accord, the anointing just come on in. The anointing came on into to just change their lives, to make them who God called them to be the ambassadors that God wants. We are too concerned with trying to argue with each other and fuss with each other and come up with all type of stuff. We can't even appreciate our own brothers and sisters. We want to go out talking to a lady this morning. People want to go to heaven. You can't love their brothers and sisters unconditionally without gossiping. I noticed the change that took place on Blog Talk Radio. I know if you all noticed, but the change took place on this line. And I know when it took place. You know, you got to see things. You got to see. Don't just try to figure stuff out. You got to see things in the spirit. There's things that happen that change things. Okay? Well, we thank God. We thank God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time that you can receive him. The Bible says there's no other name given on the heaven whereby man should be saved.
the only name is Jesus. And I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not even looking to the scriptures. It's in Acts 4 and 12. The Bible said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they acknowledged them. They were ignorant men, but they acknowledged that they had been with Jesus because the anointing was flowing through them. The way they spoke with clarity. They spoke with understanding. Hallelujah. You don't have to know a lot of words. All you need to do is have the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of God, people who have an ear to hear the Spirit will know that you are a true minister of the gospel. You're a true servant, a true ambassador. You don't need no approval from nobody. I don't need no approval from nobody. I love all people, and I need people. I need people in my life. Why? Because there's no man's an island. No man's an island. You got to need people. That's why Jesus, he didn't pick one person. He picked 12 of them. Because, you know, he was God in the flesh, and he needs people. You don't need nobody else but Jesus. That's what they say. But I need people. I ain't got to the place where I can say I don't need nobody but Jesus. I can't say it. I know the word. But I can't get to that place. I'm not to that place where I can say I don't need nobody but Jesus. I need Jesus. And I need people. Because I say it all the time. One can put a thousand to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. When we get together and we become one, we begin to work together. Because that's the whole key. Working together. When we begin to work together for God, things happen. People want to be part of what you're doing because they can sense the spirit that's taking place. People are working together. There's no animosity. There's no gossip. There's no pull down. All that's going on is that we lifting up each other. People can sense that stuff. They can sense what's happening. And we operate in the spirit. I had a child of God call me, tell me, and would begin to talk to me about what God was doing in life. Even the first day that they had made a donation to Blog Talk, and they were saying to me that it wasn't before they couldn't even get the thing on the Cash App fast enough before some miracle wouldn't happen for them. It's another person. I said, well, you know, God see your heart. It's not because of me or because of the apostle or the bishop or the evangelist or the teacher. But God see your heart that you mean well to do the things that please God, you know. And you wasn't doing that because that you want a blessing from the Lord. You were doing that because your heart was there. Your heart is there to help the poor. God sees that. Not, I'm going to say it because if I do this, God's going to give me this, God's going to do it. No, you don't, because that's what you want to do. And God blessed that woman, man. And oh, Lord, the blessing she was telling me, I was just amazed. I said, wow. He said, Apostle, this happened for me, that happened for me, this happened for my daughter, this happened for my granddaughter, this happened for Jesus. So I was getting the kitchen together, and I didn't have enough money. And, wow, this body blessed me. She was remodeling her kitchen, and this body blessed her, and the next body blessed her. So she was able to get the stove and get the refrigerator and get this and next thing. I said, wow. You know, when you see how God moves, and he works some people and bless them, let them see that all they're giving is not in vain. And we thank God, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want you to just open your mouth right where you are. It don't have to be nothing fancy. Just say, Lord, I heard the word today, and the preacher was talking about the destruction that's going to happen, and it's inevitable that it's going to happen because the scriptures say so, that you will not destroy the world again by flooding it, but by fire. And the fire is going to come because of the evil hardness of the hearts of the people. Today I heard the word, Lord Jesus, and I'm aware that I need a Savior. And I acknowledge my sin, which is always before me. I've been living a sinful life. And today, Lord Jesus, since I've heard the word, I'm coming to you with great expectation, asking you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, according to Acts 2 and 38, for every sin that I have committed, and I'm asking you to forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness according to 1 John 1 and 9. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system and all that it stands for. Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. Free me from sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me whole again. Like at the beginning when you created Adam out of the dirt and you breathed the breath of life in his lungs and he became a living soul. Make me like then, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Even right now, Lord, that I would have the mindset to serve you with everything that's within me. I want to walk in the light, Jesus. I am tired of living in the darkness of sin. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. Take it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. If you just said that uncommon prayer and you believe in your heart without any kind of reservations, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, we recommend that you get a Bible, one of your choice. You may want the NLT, the NIV, the Amplified, the Logos, the Message. There's many versions of the Bible out there. You can choose the one that works for you and start studying. You may want to get connected with some believers that been in the body of Christ for a while. They'll have a better understanding of the Word of God than you and connect with them so that they can help you. But while you're studying, invite the Holy Spirit to help you. He's the best teacher. The Bible says so. And then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize according to Acts 2 and 30 and tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying the Word of God, but you want to go deeper because the Bible requires in Mark 16 and verse 15, 16, 17, and 18 that you have to be baptized. You need to be baptized. This is part of your salvation. Hallelujah. And the pastor might say, "Well, we don't baptize in Jesus' name. We baptize according to Matthew 28 and 18, 19, and 20. You know which the verse they're pulling up is verse 19, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if you say that, don't get mad with the pastor and want to start up some ruckus. Well, my pastor told me this. The pastor told me I got to say, no, don't do that. Because God might bring you back there after a while. The pastor might retire or they might vote the pastor out because of something going on in church. And you may get the opportunity to go and be the pastor at that church. But if you act foolish, the people might remember. They ain't going to forget. Remember, because you can do a thousand good things, but do one bad thing. And the same people you was doing good for would talk about the bad thing that you did. So keep your calm and say, well, okay, if they baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and find a pastor will baptize you in Jesus' name. That is your soul salvation that you are concerned about. when you before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, your neighbor, anyone that you can invite to come to that great occasion. It's the greatest time of your life that you receive the gift of salvation, and now you're completing the path to it by going down the water, declaring to the world that you're dying to the world, and you're going to die to this world system, and you're going to come out that water alive to Jesus, to the heavenly way. Hallelujah. Once you come out that water, seek out a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Don't be a spectator, but be a participator. Go in there and participate. I don't care if you be an usher. Do something. Don't just go in there and sit down to grow. And if you don't find a church, come on back here. We're here 7 days a week. And somebody's going to come on and preach a word from the book, from the manuscript, that you can follow along with and grow with us. God bless you, and we thank you for hearing us out today. And thank you for giving your heart, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, giving your soul, your life, your mind, everything to Christ Jesus today. We thank God for you. God bless you. Bye-bye. Well, the line is open. If anyone want to respond or want to add to the word today, we talked about preparing for world destruction by fire.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. How are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored, my brother. We're getting snow
all right now.
We're inside.
That's wonderful. Y'all are inside. The weather is kind of bad out there.
It's snowing here, but
oh,
it was
snowing
since last night.
Wow, it's something high. I mean, that's amazing how it's snowing in Stoughton, and here in Gretna, Louisiana, the temperature going to be 81 degrees today. And so it's, you know, it's a real nice day today. But nevertheless, that's just the way God works, you know. He works in mysterious ways. And one thing about it, you know, we can't control that snow. We can't control the weather. Men try to, but they can't do it like God, you know.
That's right.
And as you were teaching on, you know, that, you know, he won't destroy the whole world by a flood or by water like he did during the time of Noah. But even during the time of Noah, when he destroyed it with a flood, he saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. It was about eight people altogether, along with the animals, seven kind of the clean and two kind of the unclean, that he could preserve, you know, that God would preserve life upon the planet Earth, so that when the flood is over, after 40 days and 40 nights and of all of that torrential downpour and the fountains of the deep busting up and the levees busting loose and grounds busting open and the waters from below meeting the waters from above, that rain was coming down so hard. But yet Noah, who had God's plan of salvation for that day, was safely in that ark with the door closed, along with his family members and the animals, and the whole world was lost. The whole world was lost. You know, some people choose to follow the crowd, and it's not always just following a few that they are on the right road. The thing is following God's plan of salvation, who's given to a man of God for this day and time to preach for the people of God. And just like Noah was God's man in that day, before the flood, warning the people, and they didn't take heed, many of them, to what Noah preached, but the ones who didn't, they was damned. They drowned in the flood, sad to say. I mean, old and young and, you know, black and white, and it doesn't matter, you know, to the race, creed, whoever they may have been, they all drowned except for, you know, eight people of that day. And it was a sad thing, but who could question God? No one would be able to come against him, because this is what he decided to do. This is what he said he was going to do. He was going to destroy you know, the world with the flood, you know, and nobody could have, you know, challenged him or go against him once he said what he was going to do. And he did what he said he was going to do. The only one who was saved was the one that obeyed the man of God. That was the only one that rose above that flood. And that was, of course, Noah, his wife, and his three daughter-in-laws and his three sons, and the animal and all, animals and all. And so this day and time, we're talking about, you said that he's going to destroy the world this time, not with water, but with fire. With fire, and as you, I heard you mention about the nuclear weapons and all of the things that man is creating, and of course man would completely destroy himself if God wouldn't shorten the days. There would be no flesh saved because knowledge is increasing, just like knowledge increased during the time of Noah. They had men of renown, and they have men of renown now. You know, they, you know, just it just seemed like the more so-called wisdom that man get, or the wisdom of this world, the farther he get away from God, because the wisdom of this world, God's wisdom, turned that backwards. You know, it's just, it just can't compete against God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding. Heard you ministering about Peter and John, and how that the people knew them to be unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge of them because they had been with Jesus, because he was preaching that name, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It was preaching the power of the cross. They were preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ. They were preaching about the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God that destroys the yokes of Satan, but yet give we who are the people the victory in all things through Christ Jesus our Lord, who strengthened us. So they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, you know, because of them preaching Jesus and the resurrection from the dead earlier in that chapter, which is chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Because that what you were talking about was Acts chapter 12 and Acts chapter 13, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. But earlier in that same chapter, in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 1, the people were grieved because they were preaching Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And they had just been instrumental in healing a lame man who, you know, who was set at the gate of Carid and set at the outside the gate of the temple, the beautiful gate of the temple it was called, who was asking alms of the poor. And Peter and John said unto him, he was looking on them to expect something from them, but they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rise up and walk. And, of course, Peter took him by the right hand, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And that man went walking and leaping and praising God for the first time in his life, because he had been in that situation for over 40 long years since he had come out of his mother's womb. So you know that man must have been really, really excited. Forgot about his cup. You know, hear him saying, hearing nothing about his cup, shaking his cup after that. What you see is him leaping on his feet, walking and praising God and going into the temple the first time. And the people was just, you know, astounded and astonished at what had happened to him. Asked Peter and John, by what means you've done this? By what power you've done this? And Peter and John says, not by our power, not by our might, but by the name of the Lord Jesus, this man have been made whole. And, of course, that's the same name we preach in today, that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. Didn't want them to preach in the name of Jesus anymore in that fourth chapter. Don't teach in the name. Don't preach in the name. And Peter and John said, whether they be right in the sight of God, hearken unto you, then to and the God, then you judge us. We can't help but speak the things that we've seen and we've heard. Of course, we know that they was with Jesus when he stilled the storm, and, you know, so many things that they witnessed, water being turned to wine at the wedding at Cana. I mean, they were with him during that time when he stilled the storm, and he said, peace be still, you know, and the sea became calm, and the thunder and lightning went away, and the rain stopped pouring down on that Sea of Galilee. They were in the boat. It was so many things that they witnessed to what Jesus did, how that he opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped deaf ears, cleansed the leper, raised the dead. All of these miraculous things that they saw, so they couldn't help but speak the things that they saw, that they witnessed, the things that they heard, the word that come out of his mouth, and the charge that he had gave them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, Jesus said, they're going to cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, when we look at the power and the authority and anointing of God that these apostles had and how that they spoke the word with boldness. And then I heard you say, apostle, you know, that, you know, we are just the branches. You know, they were the branches, you know. Jesus was the vine, and, you know, they were branches just like we are the branches today. And I heard you mention, I was paying close attention when you said that, you know, the winds are coming blowing, you know what I'm saying, and the storms will come. And if that branch that's on that tree, if it's not firmly connected, it could be blown completely off of the vine. And once it's blown off the vine, well, it's nothing good for after that because it's not connected anymore. Nothing good after that but to be taken up and cast into the fire. And it's burned. But what so many people don't understand is that people are looking at us, you know, just like Peter and John said, look on us. Look on us. And, you know, that lamb man was looking on them, expecting to receive some money from them. But, of course, he received much more than money, something that money came by. You understand? They spoke that name of Jesus over him, and he was immediately whole right away. He was made whole. He was made well. And so, you know, we have something that money came by. Now, the Bible says that money answered all things. So money talk. You know, people that have money, you know, they can do a whole lot of things with money because money talk. The sad part about it, but what is money saying to different ones? See, money talks, but now if someone's mind is not right and they're listening to what money says, all they're going to have to hear is that, you know, that the love of money, you know, is you know, we need this and we'll do anything to get this money. It doesn't matter whether we sell drugs to get it, whether we do drugs to get it, whether we kill, whether we murder, however we get money. Money talks, but the way that it's talking, you know, it's for them to get it in the wrong way. And if they get it in the wrong way, it will answer some of the things that they want answered. It'll buy them a new house. It'll get them a new car. But the thing thereof, the wages of sin, the way that they got it is death. See, and then after death is the judgment. And, of course, the judgment is to be eternally separated from God, to be cast into a lake that burneth with brimstone and fire. So it's good to, you know, if we're going to use money, we use money in the right way because not the money, but the root of the love of money is the root of all evil, the love. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's all right to have money, but we are not to let money get us and have us and we do anything for money because money will talk. You know, money will get you into some places that you couldn't get into before. Money will get these people that are Masons a higher degree than a 33 degree. They can come into 50-something degree, 80-something degree if they got enough money. You understand what I'm saying? They can buy their way up that Mason scale and hold a higher position. But, of course, that organization, you know, it's not right. It's not right. It's not of God. Not when you get to the real root of it and understand the real thing that they're doing through Masonry and the Illuminati and the Skull and Bone and all these different secret organizations and stuff. But as you were saying, when you know, it's something about being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being a chief cornerstone. You know, when we built like that, the storms will come, the winds and the rains will come, the winds will blow, and it won't move us because we found it upon a solid foundation. We found it upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ himself, you know, built upon the rock. But those that's built upon money and stubble and all these different things that is nothing but sinking sand, when the floods come and the winds blow, it's coming down, and great will be the fall of it, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 7. And so it's something about being connected to the vine, being connected to the vine, because actually Jesus is the vine and his roots run deep. You know, matter of fact, Jesus himself is the root and the offspring of David. David came out from him, and yet he came out from David. You know, the humanity side of him came out from David, but then the spiritual side of him is God, is before David. He's the root of David. Matter of fact, he said to those Pharisees and all that were questioning him, he said, listen, before Abraham was, I am. So he was before Abraham. Matter of fact, he was the one that scooped down and took the dust of the ground and blew the breath of life into the nostrils of the first man, Adam, and Adam became a living soul. It was Jesus that did that. He's the creator. The Bible says he was talking about Jesus here now. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. But thank God we know him. We know who we are, and we know whose we are. We belong to him. He's purchased us with his own blood, and that's what's so beautiful about who we are and whose we are. We are the children of God. Another thing I heard you say, Apostle, that God chastened them whom he loved. You know, said people of God, sometimes we get into things and we say things that we shouldn't say. But, you know, he's going to correct us. He's going to chase us. I heard you say, look, he'll whip you behind. And, yes, he will do it, because if the natural father loves his children enough that when they don't do right to spank them, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. See, well, God is not going to spare the rod. Sometimes he's going to have to spank those of us whom he loves. And I'm glad for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad for that spanking, you know, that we have the opportunity to repent. It's a wonderful thing to repent and to come back to God. Even when we fall, when we say something we don't have no business to say, when we slip, we can get right back up. A righteous man falleth 7 times, and the Lord raised him up. You understand? But the wicked, you understand, they'll fall into condemnation. And Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. But we are to make sure that we're receiving from his spirit, the power of God. We're receiving his sunshine, the sunshine of his word. We're receiving the watering of his word so that we can stay strong and stay healthy and stay connected to the vine. Because, you know, sometimes, like you said, people receive a little word of God, they learn a little bit, and they go from under their covering. And you see, when people go from under their covering, at that time, they're being disconnected from the vine, because he's made us the bishops to watch over people's soul. You know, we watch for their souls, but, you know, so many people, they go from under their covering when they learn a little bit, especially if they get a little argument with somebody in the ministry, and they don't have a forgiving spirit. Right away, they wants to leave and go somewhere else. And a lot of times, they don't want to have nothing to do with church. I'm not going into nobody church no more. And they make those type of foolish decisions. And I say foolish because when they leave out, a lot of times, their little children is leaving out right behind them. And that's what happens to a branch, because the branch is just not a little empty branch. Most times, when the season is around, when especially for that season, for that branch to produce, it's a lot of fruit that's on that branch, a lot of tasty and delicious fruit that's on that branch. Those fruit represents our children. Those fruit represents, you understand what I'm saying, that come out of our seed, you know, the fruit that particular vine, that particular tree produces. And if Jesus the vine and we are the branches, then that means that we come out of him. We'll become born again. See, everybody have to become born again. We were born the first time, come out of our mother's womb, but we had to be born again, born anew, of the water and of the spirit, you know, because why? Water, blood, and spirit, these are the three witnesses here on earth, praise God. We have to have the spirit, got to have the Holy Ghost. We got to have the blood, because the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And we got to have the water, because this is one of the witnesses as well, born of the water and of the spirit. These three witnesses, blood, water, and spirit, this was penned down in the scriptures for our learning. And so when we become born again, you know, trusting and believing what Jesus did on Calvary and the power of his resurrection, understanding that it was God himself that has come down from heaven without leaving heaven, you understand what I'm saying, wrapping himself up in a body in his own arm, bringing salvation to us through the birth of Mary, birth of through Hakanel, and on to the earth as a little child, and then grew up, as I heard you say, in his touch with the feelings of our infirmities, you understand, to be the propitiation for our sins, to shed forth his blood so that our sins could be washed away, in other words, so that he can go to the cross. And Jesus was obedient until the death of the cross. He was obedient unto that, even though the flesh tried to tell him not to, talking about the humanity side of him, try to get him to back off from the cross, but he went on to say, as he prayed, and sweat fell from his brow, like the Bible says, great drops of blood. He said, nevertheless, not my will, not the will of the fleshly humanity side of me, but the spiritual side of me. Let thy will be done. Let your will be done. Let the Heavenly Father will be done, because Jesus is, of course, he's Father and he's Son. And when we understand that, we realize that, you know, he was getting ready to go to the cross, and, of course, the spirit that was in that flesh would forsake that flesh, and he would cry out, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the spirit side of him would be leaving out of the humanity side of him, and the humanity side of him would die. But then the spiritual side of him would come back and get back in the humanity side of him and raise the humanity side of him from the dead. And then, of course, after that, that body would still have to be glorified, you understand, glory to God. And so, I said that to say this, and now that we are the branches and he is the vine, glory to God, we are to stay connected to that vine. We are to stay connected to him like Jeremiah, you know, it was told to him to take this beautiful linen girdle and put it around his waist. And he took that linen in the 13th chapter of Jeremiah, and he put that linen girdle around his waist. And as long as that linen girdle was cleaved to Jeremiah's waist, it stayed beautiful. And see, as long as we stay connected to the vine, we're going to be beautiful. We're going to be fruitful. You know, we're going to multiply. You understand what I'm saying? He will bless the fruit of our lips and the fruit of our ground, you understand? And, of course, when we put him first, he will bless everything we set forth our hands to do, open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us. We don't even have room enough to receive. So, you know, when the vine and the branches and the roots are running deep, you know, that could be a healthy vine because the sun is shining on it beautifully and wonderfully, and it's getting just the right amount of sunshine, just the right amount of water, that the roots run deep and become strong, you know. And so as long as that girdle was cleaved around Jeremiah's waist in the 13th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, of course, that linen girdle represented Judah and Jerusalem. It represented Israel and the cleaving of Israel to, you know, to God. As long as Israel and Judah was connected to God and cleaved on to God and kept the commandments of Jehovah, of Yahweh, you understand what I'm saying? They were always, you know what I'm saying, being blessed, and God was blessing them. But when they went away from Yahweh, when they went away from Jehovah, when they went away from God, when they went away from Dios, when they went away from him and went after idol gods, that's when God had to begin to chastise them. You understand? And, of course, he used the other nations to judge them, you understand, to chastise them. But then after a while, when they would come back to God, then God would always have a remnant, you know, that would be there for him. And those who had went away from him, some of them lived long enough to come back to him. And, of course, he would then use them to even judge the nations that he had used to judge them. That's the way God is. He'll take a little something, I'm telling you, and defy something that's gigantic. That's just the way God is. He can take a little and do much. But anyway, as long as that girdle was cleaved to Jeremiah's waist, it stayed beautiful. But when God told Jeremiah, now take that girdle that you have around your waist, and I want you to put it in a hole in the rock. You know, don't put it in water, but put it in the hole of the rock. And so Jeremiah put that girdle, the beautiful linen girdle, I mean beautiful sash, beautiful belt that he had on, and put it inside of that that hole in the rock, Apostle, you know the story. And what happened was Jeremiah left it there for many days. For many days it was in the crack of the rock. But then what happens is after being there for many days and moisture starting to hit that beautiful linen girdle, and then all of a sudden drying out in the moisture, it caused it to begin to mildew. It caused it to become ragged. It caused it to be good for nothing. And he told Jeremiah, before Jeremiah knew it was like that, Jeremiah thought he was getting ready to go take out that beautiful linen sash that he had around his waist one time before. He thought God was telling him to go take it out of the crack of the rock and put it back around his waist. He thought God was getting ready to show him something different. But God, yes, God was getting ready to show him something different, but not what he expected. When he looked in the crack of the rock and he reached in to pull out that beautiful girdle that he thought was still beautiful, it was no longer beautiful. It was mildewed. It was torn. It was ragged. When he pulled it out, I mean, it was tearing in his hand. You understand? Just a filthy, dirty rag, no longer beautiful. And God told Jeremiah, he said, you know what? He said, I showed you that because I wanted to open up the eyes of your understanding that this is what I'm going to do to the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, of the children of Israel. You know, I'm going to mar their pride, you understand? They're going to be as this marred girdle, good for nothing, because they've gone away from me. They're not cleaving to me no longer. And that's what God wants us to do today. He wants us to cleave to him. He wants us to hold on to him. He wants us to grab hold to his truth, to him, to his word. And he wants us to cleave on to that name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, because at the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee going to bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the very Lord of all. And so, you know, he was teaching Jeremiah a lesson, you understand, that Israel was to come back to him before it be too late, and it was going to be too late for some. And that's the same way it is with the branch, when it's connected to the vine, but no longer have the stability, no longer have the adhesiveness, no longer have the strength to hold on to the vine. And, of course, people, it happens when they start coming from under their cover and they start missing church, they get away from the church. You know, some get away from Block Talk. You see, Block Talk, you know, is a ministry, and it is. Some people come in, they minister the word, and then they get away from it, they go away from it, and they stay a long time. Then you begin to hear things about some of them. Some of them don't even make it back. Some don't make it back to church. Some don't make it back to fellowship. You know, and that's the way it is when that branch is connected to the vine but then become disconnected from the vine. And it's cast off on the side of the street or on the side of the road waiting for the garbage man to come and pick it up. You know, it's good for nothing once it's disconnected from the vine, it's going to die. It's going to become brown. It's going to wither. And you see some of these movies sometime when they first come on, you see that tumbleweed, the wind be blowing, and that tumbleweed just be tossed everywhere the wind blow. That's which way the tumbleweed, you know, tosses it. Well, that's the way the vine, that's the way the branches are that's disconnected from the vine. It throw them on the side of the road, and eventually they start breaking up, and the wind take part of it and blow it this way, wind take part of it and blow it that way, and so on and so on. And the sad thing about it, there are fruit that's connected to the vine, because when you cut a branch off, you know, my mother-in-law had a tree. It was called, we call it a Japonica tree. Some people call the fruit from that tree Japanese plums. And they had different names that they would call these little fruits, little yellow fruits, and they turn almost orange. and they're so sweet, and they have a dark seed in it, sometimes two dark seeds in it, and it'd be so delicious. And, again, we used to call them Japanicas, you know. But we used to get in my mother-in-law a tree, and, you know, I was a young boy when I married my wife, real young, 21 years old. She was just 19. We were young. And sometime we would break the branches, and she said, "Oh, no, don't do that. You know, don't break the branches. You know, you could pull the fruit off the tree and eat the fruit, but don't break the branches because you want them branches to be there." You know, so when next year come around, the branches is there so that they can bear more fruit. But if you break the branches off the tree, that whole branch done been disconnected, and the fruit that's on there is disconnected. And if you didn't eat those fruit and you threw that branch on the side of the road, it would stay there. That branch would get brown, no longer green, you understand, and it'll soon wither, and the fruit that's on it will begin to rotten. You know, the fruit will be good for nothing, you understand. And so this is why, you know, we have to make a conscious decision when we're in church, are we under a good covering, that we don't just run from under our covering, watch, you know, run from under a bishop that's watching over our soul, that's feeding the church of God, that's feeding the flock of the church of God that God himself has purchased with his own blood. You understand what I'm saying? We're under a good pastor, good bishop, good apostle, you understand, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You know, we're supposed to bloom and blossom and grow under that type of leadership. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, when we go and make a wrong decision, you understand, not looking at our children when we leave from church or from under good covering, because when we go, the children leave too. And I often have said and been saying this for many, many years, a lot of times when we do make up our mind to try to be reconnected, you know, to the church, try to come back in after many years sometime, you understand, after we done suffered things, after we done, you know, done got almost destroyed by alcohol or by drugs, our own selves, by fornication, homosexuality, or lesbianism, or some type of something that's disgusting in the sight of God, when we decide to repent. Because God's arm is always open for us, you understand? We can come back to him while the blood is running warm in our veins. When we do decide to come back to us, sometimes our children is just so messed up that they don't want to come back at that time. So sometimes the fruit of our bodies could be destroyed. The fruit of our bodies could be so far out there. And it's a hurting thing to a father or mother, you know, to try to get their children saved, you know, who have come from under their covering, following the mother and father, and now have gotten out there deeper than the mother and father was in. You understand what I'm saying? And it's become sevenfold more the child of hell than they themselves before they came in. You understand? And it's just by the grace of God that they made it back in, but now children is still seven, you know, fold more the child of hell than what they were before they fell. Though they made it back, because sometimes, you know, God allows certain things to happen. He allows people to, you know, that's hard-headed and don't want to listen. You know, sometimes experience got to be their best teacher. You know what I'm saying? And they go out from among us. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of times what happened is that, you know, God allowed the devil, the scripture says, to buffet them. You understand what I'm saying? So that their souls could be saved. But while they're being buffeted sometime, their children is going farther than that away, and they become seven times more the child of hell than they themselves. And it's so hard to try to get them children back in while the blood is running warm in their veins. It's not impossible for them to come back in, because all things is possible with God. You understand what I'm saying? But it's so hard, you understand, to try to win them back to Christ, because they go to looking on the man of God, the woman of God, those that are in the faith. They go to looking at them like they are the enemy when they are not the enemy. But, you know, Satan takes that little splinter at the first, falls away like a little splinter, and now he done blew it up to be a telephone post. You understand what I'm saying? And then turn that into a tree, then turn that tree into a whole forest. You understand, where you can't see nothing for the trees. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes people are caught up in the midst of all of them giant trees out there, and you don't even see the things that they're suffering and the things that they're going through. because they just done fell through the cracks, or they're out there among the giant trees. But God see them, and God got a way to bring them out. Even if he got to move some of these giant trees out of the way to get them, he's got a way to draw his children back to him because of his loving kindness. So there's nothing too hard for God. But I tell you, Apostle, while listening to that, what you were saying, it was a whole lot of things going through my mind, you understand, while you were talking, because, you know, that's a powerful subject, that in these last days, and time is winding down with all of these powerful, powerful nuclear weapons that these countries, these world leaders in these countries have, these powerful nuclear weapons. At the press of a button, the earth could be blown up five, the whole earth could be blown up five times at the press of a button. You understand? But God is not allowing it to happen, because we are the people of God are still here on earth. You understand what I'm saying? And God will not allow, you know, man to destroy the earth at the press of a button, because God is the one that's in total control. But it's when the Holy Ghost be taken off this earth that a whole lot of stuff gonna break out. When there's no restrainer, you know, and any and everything goes, you know, out there at Carnival there, on a couple of days ago, and, you know, Lundi Gras, which was Monday, and then Mardi Gras, which was Tuesday, and then they have these carnivals around the world. You understand what I'm saying? Everything goes. Matter of fact, the governor in, not the governor, but the mayor in New Orleans, she's a woman, and she gave the keys to the king of Carnival, called him Rex, the king of Carnival, and she gave the keys of the city to him, you understand, and for 24 hours, you know, that man, I don't even know what his name is, but he was called the King of Carnival, and he also had a queen with him who was called the Queen of Carnival for 24 hours, but after that 24 hours was up, that was it for them. They were no longer the King and Queen of Carnival, you understand, so, you know, they have to give the key back, you understand what I'm saying, to the mayor, and then the mayor once again have the key to the city. Now, I don't know if every year whatever key is given that they keep that key, you know, just to remind them that they had the key to the city for a year. I don't know how that go out. Do they really, really return the key? You understand? But nevertheless, that key means nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because once again, after a year, after 24 hours, it ain't good for nothing for them after 24 hours. They just do whatever they want to do for those 24 hours. And then after that, restraint is put back on the city once again. You understand? You can't do all of the things that they were letting their hair, some people say, hang down, and they do. You understand? And so, you know, this world is going to be destroyed by fire next time, according to what the Bible says, that this earth is going to it's going to melt away with a fervent heat. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what the scripture says. The former things will be passed away, and there'll be this place called New Jerusalem, where it's no sickness, no pain, no death, no disease. Oh my God, what a beautiful place that's going to be. And we're all striving to get there. Glory to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we want to be. That's where we are expecting to see our loved ones and to reunite with them once again. And most of all, to see, you know, the prophets of old and the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But most of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we'll be able to look upon him, my God, and be able to hug him and be able to cleave to him, oh my God, like he intended it to be, for us to cleave to him because we're his. You know, we belong to him, purchased with his own blood. So what a beautiful place for us to be. We win while we're here on the earth, and then we win when this earth is gone and the new earth is coming on the scene. We win the whole time. We are winners, you know, and we are sure winners. We don't have to go to a casino. We don't have to gamble. We don't have to play the lottery, because even a man that played the lottery, if he wins a half $1 billion or a trillion, if it ever get there, you know, he's only going to be able to have that as long as he lives. And this little short life that we have upon this planet Earth is not even to be compared, you know, to eternity. So winning the lottery doesn't mean anything. You understand? Because after all, that gain will be gone, and he won't be able to take not one red, copper, cent, penny.
Jesus.
Even though if throwed in the tomb with him, Apostle. Won't even know if it's throwed in the tomb and bounce into his casket. He won't even know that. You understand? And, and so we're not concerned about the lottery. It'll be a blessing if somebody won it and gave us of it. I'm not going to turn it away because we could use it to do so much good with it. But our eyes is not on the lottery. Our eyes is not on money. Our eyes is not on the government because they are not our source. Our source
is
our Lord Jesus Christ, from which come in our help. Back to you, Apostle. Back into your hands in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Apostle, for your encouraging words. And I just saw something on the internet that they are staging a mock nuclear incident in Washington, D.C. They're like preparing people for what to do if a nuclear. There's not much you can do. You know, there's not much you can do if there's a nuclear blast. Your eyes are going to be burnt out. You know what I'm saying? Your flesh is going to melt, according to Revelation. It's going to melt by the fervent heat that's going to come from that blast.
That's right.
You know, these people are something else. They're something else. You know, but when I was studying that word, the Lord said, he not the one going to destroy. He says, man going to destroy himself. Because they're fighting against each other. They're trying to see who is the best, who got the most authority, you know?
Right.
And the only body got authority is Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody's got authority but Jesus Christ.
And to
he has all authority.
And to whom he delegate authority to. But they don't have the super authority like you just said that he has. You know what I'm saying? So you're so right. And, you know, apostles, just thinking about what you just said, you know, the eyes, you know, coming out of the sockets and, you know, and the flesh melting off the bone and people running and hiding their face in the dens of the rocks and crying out to the rocks and to the mountain, fall on us, hide us from the face of
that's
him
right.
that set it upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And who shall be able to stand? You know, they're going to be screaming according to the scriptures, begging to die, and death going to flee from them. Death going to run from them.
That's right. They're not going to run away from them.
And the pain going to be worse than the sting of a scorpion, you know, when it's striking a man. And all of this, it's just so sad that people are running around, and many of them, you know, their eyes are blinded, Apostle, in that they don't see what's coming up on this earth, and they have not taken heed, you know, to look towards the hills from which cometh their help. They're not looking at the cross. They're not looking at the goodness of God, you know, and so that they won't be drawn to him by his loving kindness if they don't see what he's done for them, how kind he was to them. And many of them, they don't want to take time to learn about Jesus or to hear about Jesus. They're running away from Jesus. And if somewhere down the line, if God don't allow something to happen, like what he allowed to happen to Balaam, when that donkey was trying to go in every direction that she could to keep him from being cut down by the sword that angel had in his hand. That angel stood in about three places about to cut Balaam down, about to cut him down. And he didn't see the angel. The donkey saw it. She saw it. And she went in three directions trying to, you know, trying to save him or to try to keep him from being destroyed. And he wind up beating her. Now, you know that's a shame. He beat her.
He wanted to kill
but
that
the last baby. Time she fell to her knees, she wouldn't go no farther because that angel was standing right in front of her. She couldn't go to the left or to the right. She just fell down with him on her back. And he beat her still. But, you know, when his eyes was open, after he saw what happened, and he even heard his donkey speak with the voice of humanity for the first time in his life. He had never heard a donkey speak. But he heard her speak because God gave her a miracle in her mouth. And she was able to speak. And I tell you what, you understand, he fell on his face before that angel. But that angel told him, if it had not been for her, I would have killed
That's
you
right.
and saved her life. You understand? So, you know, people, you know, something just may have to happen before they'll be able to look up, like what happened to Saul as well. You know, or what happened to Jonah when he was swallowed up by the whale and so on and so on. There's so many examples in the Bible where things had to happen before people came to God. But it's always good when his hand is reached out for us, is to grab hold to it and let him just, you know, bring us into him instead of trying to run away from him, you know. And that's what people are doing, as you said in your message. You know, some are being hard-headed. They don't want to listen, but in for a rude awakening, Apostle, a rude awakening, because if they die without God, if they die without him, there is no hope for them because they can't get it right after the grave.
That's
no
right.
Repentance. No repentance after the grave. It's appointed unto men once to die and after this to judgment, you know. So, you know, that's why I'm holding on. I'm holding on for dear life.
Me too.
You know, because, you know, I don't want to be lost, Apostle. You know, God has revealed to me what's going to happen after death. And, you know, it's nothing worth, you know, turning away from God or in this life that we now live. Nothing is worth turning away from God. Nothing is worth that. And it causes us to lose our soul, you know. So I'm holding on for dear life and asking God to help me. Matter of fact, I'm praying to stay in his hand where no man could pluck me
yes.
out, you know. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
My God.
Thank you so much. Yes, that's right, Apostle. Mother Grant is on the line. She may want to read. Mother Grant, you're there. Mother Grant?
She may not have hold of her word. You know, she'd be reading from a little daily bread, and
yeah.
She can't get to daily bread.
Sometimes she don't have a phone. She don't hear you. She don't hear
might
you.
Have
she's
a phone.
On there.
Might be away from the phone as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do say praise the Lord to all of Block Talk audience and all that are listening. To Apostle Linda Washington, if she's listening in, Bishop James Washington, Deacon Frazier, and others, Minister Undura, if she's on the line, Apostle Prophet Kersey, Prophetess Kersey, and some of the other apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that may be on the line, do want to say a big God bless you to all of you. If Block Talk are still listening at us, those that are in India, Africa, Australia, and other places where our voices might be heard. Big God bless you to all of you. Just want to say that from Apostle Calendar and myself, the Block Talk audience, we love you. We love you. We love you so much. And we just thank God for your listening, and we're praying for your well-being in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Apostle. And, the shepherdess is prophetess is going to be bringing a message tomorrow. Prophetess,
all right.
Kersey.
I want to listen in for that. Well, I'm going to be busy tomorrow at 12 noon. I'll be able to listen for a little while, up to about 12. Usually, shepherdess don't stay too long. She comes and she hit hard, quick and powerful, but she don't stay on the line too long. Who knows? If she start at 11. She may be finished for 12. I don't know, but we have a luncheon tomorrow at 12 o'clock with some of the pastors. It's going to be over there by us, and we're going to meet with them, getting ready for pre-Pentecost. You know, Pentecost it comes up every year, you know, and so the pre-Pentecost luncheon is going to be over there by us on tomorrow for 12 noon, and, of course, we'll be getting ready for that great day, you know, when we have pastors and preachers and people, you know, just coming in from different places. The church that I believe we're going to be having it at, I think it either hold nice one church that I know it holds about 500 members, but then there's another church, if it outgrows, you know, if it come to outgrowing that, it's another where it holds about 1,000 people comfortable. You probably could get about 1,200 in there. And we probably won't have more people than that. I don't want to put a number on the amount who's coming, but a lot of times, Apostle, when you're preaching the truth, you know, about the birth of the church, about the Holy Ghost, about speaking in tongues, about, you know, miracle signs and wonders and different things like that. You know, some people want to connect, but then there's a lot of people who don't connect because they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Some don't believe in miracles for today, and there's so many people that's supposed to be Christians but got so many different beliefs, you know. But we're expecting to have probably, I'm thinking about 500, maybe more, you know, maybe way more. I don't know. It's according to how it's advertised, you know. According to how many people really, really know about it, you see.
No, I pray that you have a
good
crowd. And if the anointing fall in that place, people get saved.
Yeah, and that's the main thing.
Yes.
The last few Pentecostals that we had, you know, folk got, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, some were getting baptized. Some get baptized right there at the church where they had. Some go back to their church and get baptized. I preached a meeting not too long ago where, you know, some went back to their church and got baptized. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They still made it before the, you know, before it was too late, you know, and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, and it's just such a blessing when you see people come out to that altar, come up to that altar and be just hungry for the word, hungry to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, it's such a blessing to see the Holy Ghost poured out on so many people, you know, and so many people speak tongues and standing in chairs. And oh my God, it's a sight to see, I tell you. It's awesome, you know. Some people that's real
sharp. Another Grant ready? Another Grant?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Bless. God bless everybody on the line.
God bless you.
I leave my phone out. I had no phone all morning. I went to the center.
God bless you, Mother Brian.
Yes. Amen. Amen. See, God was merciful. We were dead because of our sin. But God loved us so much that he made us alive with Christ. And God's wonderful kindness is what serve you. Ephesians 2 and 4. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3 and 17. Be thankful in all situations, circumstances, for this is God's will for you, who belongs to Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. Jeremiah 10 and 23. In their heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord established their steps. Proverbs 16 and 9. I am trusting you, O Lord, saying you are my God. My future is in your hands. Psalms 31, 14, and 15. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser. Praise the Lord. Still, teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Proverbs 9 and 9. Listen to the counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your later days. Proverbs 19 and 20, and may God and his blessing to his word. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much for coming on and reading.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. Pay attention to what we hear. You know, God has seen so much to us that we need to pay attention. You know, we need to pay attention and receive what God is saying to us so we all can grow, you know. It's all about getting to that place where God can use us, you know. Now, there's too much confusion going on, too much confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. See, God speaks to us by the Spirit. He speaks to us by the Spirit. And if we got our ears tuned to him, we hear what he's saying. So I thank God for you, Mother. Now, Brother Deacon is on there. He's not seeing anything. He just lost one of his boss's grandson got shot to death.
Oh, no.
I guess yesterday morning or something, so he sent me a text yesterday. We've been praying for him, praying for the young man's family, for the bosses, for the family. You know,
did he change the job, or he on the same job?
As far as I know, he's on the same job.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know. I haven't heard any different.
Yeah, okay.
But we're praying for him and for his boss. Because I can imagine how the young man, you know, the young people today, it's so easy for them to get into a ruckus, you know, because they're like, they don't believe, you know, they hear stuff, they go into stuff and they get argumented. And one thing lead to another, and they all got guns.
Too much violence
they don't
going
on. No, yeah, they don't have no gun license, no permit, but they got guns. I don't know how to get the guns, but they all got guns.
Yeah, you see the 19-year-old there in Orlando kill up 3 people, a 9-year-old, the mother, oh, Lord, I tell you. We're gone. They got to stop. And every morning here in Miami, here every morning you read the news, I mean all the shooting and the killing, the young black boys and our black boys. I hate that. Oh, Lord.
They're killing one another, and the police killing them too.
Yeah.
You know, they're killing one another, and the police killing them too.
Yeah.
Because I'll be watching it on YouTube. I'll be watching it on YouTube. And it gets me so upset, you know.
Yes, Lord. I say, Lord, I thank God for my boys. So God, I thank God every day. I pray for them every day. They leave the house. I say, Lord, I know I got 8 children, but you blessed me. I have good children. But you never know, because my son, he's a security, and he deal with guns. He got his gun license, and he have the real bulletproof, and I thank God for him, my oldest son. He didn't even want to let me know that he had guns. One day I see him with the vest, he bring the vest, and I say, Lord, just guide him and protect him, that nobody will shoot him. I don't like guns.
Yeah,
well,
he got a vest. I got
like
a vest. I got a vest too, Mother. I got a vest too, because when they start killing preachers, I bought me a vest about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I bought a vest because when you're going out there and now the way the people coming against the Christians, you better have a vest if you're a pastor. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, because
they don't care who you are. And a preacher can get shot too. You know, they went in Orlando last year. Not Orlando, Alabama, Georgia. And they went in this church. A woman was preaching. She was a woman pastor. And they said the man, he had just got out of jail. And went into that church and killed that pastor. And they said he didn't even know the pastor. But he went in there and killed that pastor.
Oh, Jesus. Lord help
devil
you.
Devil is submiss.
Busy. Very busy.
I don't go anywhere, Mother Grant. I go to Jamaican restaurant and buy some Jamaican food. I come back home car ever so often. I treat myself to some curry goat or some oxtail. I go there and get some of that and come home. Unless I'm visiting somebody's church. You know what I'm saying? If I'm visiting the pastor, invite me, I go, I preach, or if I got to share a word and I come right back home, I don't hang out there. You know, I don't hang out there in the streets anymore. That's not my lifestyle. I ain't trying to fit in with them. I tell them about Jesus. If they don't want to hear him, I'm gone. I'm not going to sit around arguing with them saying, you got to get Jesus. You got to get Jesus. No, I'm not going to sit around them. They arguing with them. You know, I just tell them about Jesus. And I got one guy that he and I work together. He's a plumber. And he don't be with no church or nothing now because he said his pastor talk about him and his wife over the microphone. And since then, he went back to a church. See, they were getting pregnant all the time, and and the pastor, he's talking about that. They can't afford to give no money to the church because they keep getting pregnant all the time. You know, he knew they were talking about him. And his wife, he's a very nice guy. His wife was nice, too. And they ain't went back to a church since then. So time he called me for prayer and stuff. And we were praying for his son. His son had some girl from Jamaica that he was dating to try to set him up. Almost lost his life. Put some voodoo on him, had him going crazy. And we had to pray for him. He got locked up. They had him in jail. Had him locked up in jail for, about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks he was in jail. For nothing. He was playing for the NFL, and he lost, through that foolishness that they put on him, he lost his position on the team that he was playing for.
Oh, God, Lord.
But he's home now, so hopefully by next season somebody will pick him up, you know?
Yeah.
This world is very trifling. There are a lot of trifling people out there. You got to be careful, you know? Well, we thank God for you. Deacon's there. He's not seeing anything, so we're going to pray and close out. The prophetess, Kirstie, she's going to come and bring the word tomorrow. And hopefully, Pastor Apostle Washington Bishop will come on Saturday. If they don't come, we're going to bring the word. Somebody will bring the word. But Minister Andrea, she's still under the weather from the COVID. She sent me a message just now. She said that she is still, her throat is still bad, and but I pray for her that she will get over, she should not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. So we expecting her to come up. And Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for Mother Grant. Thank you for her sons and daughters and her grandchildren. Thank you, Father God, for her faithfulness to the kingdom and for the time that you gave her, Lord, that she can enjoy her life, Lord God, and enjoy the body of Christ, Lord God. I pray, Father God, for your continued protection over her as she go out and as she go return in, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you keep her safe and secure from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, protect everything that concern her, Lord God. We ask, oh God, that you give her favor in everything that she needs. God, you make a way for her, Lord, because you promised that you'll be her way maker. Lord, we ask, God, that you continue to bless her. Bless her car, that nobody would do anything to her car. Oh, Lord, bless her home. Bless everything, Lord God. Lord, let her grandchildren, oh God, enjoy the life and go, but let none of them be taken by a drive-by shooter or a mishap, oh God. We pray, Father God, that there be no premature death in her family. Lord, we pray for Deacon Fraser, pray for his mother, for his father, for his boss. And Lord, we ask you to continue to strengthen his boss, Lord God, as he goes through this mourning time, losing his grandson. We ask, Father God, that you continue to watch over Apostle Millie and Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington. We pray for healing for their minds, for their soul, for their spirit, man. And we ask, oh God, that you keep them safe and secure from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord God. Lord, we are thanking you right now that as we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God, that you continue to bless us, that you continue to keep us secure, safe and secure from all hurt, harm, and danger. What the enemy think for bad, God turns it around for our good, oh God. We ask you to arise up in us, oh God, and let the enemy be scattered. Father, we are so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord ever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them. And Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word you say today that will stop someone from committing suicide, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. God bless you all, and God keep you, and God cause his face to shine upon you, and God give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye, Mother Grant. See you on tomorrow. The Lord say the same. All right?
Okay. All right. All right. God
bless
you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. God bless you, too.
Amen.
God bless you, brother Deacon. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.